This is Open Line on VOCM.
Welcome back to the program. Let's begin this segment on line number 5. Say good morning to the president of the NLTA. That's Dean Ingram. Dean, you're on the air.
Good morning, Patty. Thanks for inviting me on.
Happy to have you on. Look, there's a bit of a contradictory issue going on in Central, just from where I sit. And once again, I admit freely, I'm not an epidemiologist, but well, we're told that the variant is the first one that was first identified in India. It's so transmissible and infectious, and we're going back to school. Students, parents, teachers alike have some concerns. What are yours?
Well, like you, Patty, I'm not an epidemiologist, and I'm not an immunologist. I'm not a healthcare professional, but I don't think you need to be to see the contradiction and double standard, different set of public health protocols you see between our schools and the rest of communities. The fact is that right now we have a large portion of the central region staying in alert level 4. People in those communities are being advised to limit travel in and out of the area, work from home where possible, limit contacts outside your bubble, but teachers, staff, and yes, students too in the area have returned to in-person classes where they're having literally dozens of contacts daily, hourly outside their bubbles. And this is something we've been raising since last summer, last July. And we've had a number of conversations on this very point with public health precautions that are less than we'd see for other gatherings, other workplaces, other public venues.
It's a bit of an odd one. Now, I know a lot of people, and I think when the polls are put forward, most people want to be in school. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of this, we were told that schools are not a potential for super spreader activity when, in fact, it's been proven to be the case, not to be the case. They can indeed be a part of the problem here.
Yep.
There are going to be, there's parents sending me emails saying they're not sending their kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
So do you happen to understand what the issue was simply closed Tuesday, Wednesday, reopen for Thursday, Friday? Like, was there a rationale behind all of that, or was it simply an arbitrary couple of days to see how many tests can be conducted?
Well, again, that's a question best asked of public health, best asked of the district. I mean, right now we weren't involved in the decision-making on that. But again, what we see is decision-makers consistently referencing an approach that's based on an abundance of caution. But it doesn't seem to equally apply in schools. I mean, to the point that you raised, teachers were not supported and worked from home when they were fully able to do so, when in-class school, class were suspended. This adds unnecessary anxiety to what's already stressful. And just a case in point, I received outreach from this morning from a couple of schools. I know in one case, one school in the area, I don't want to identify this school, but they have less than 10 students in total in attendance today in school. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they had over 90% of the students engaged online. So which model works best? Which dynamic provides better instruction for students? In terms of the community spread angle of it, well, the fact is we've seen correspondence to school communities from both NLESD and Dr. Dutt, and in those correspondence, they state that public health investigation contact tracing are ongoing with respect to possible community transmission in the region. If you're still engaged in the ongoing tracing, the ongoing analysis, can you be 100% confident? As I've said consistently, we will never know if we've been too cautious, but we will find out if we haven't been cautious enough. This province is in an extraordinarily good place, but we've also seen several situations throughout this year where it illustrates how fragile that can be. And we still don't know what role, if any, that the interactions at school or among students and or staff have played in this situation, and how this and the science around the variant, B.1.6.1.7.2 variant, have been factored in these decisions. Now, we fully respect the need to protect confidentiality, but we think this is information that needs to be said. And we do have concerns, we remain with concerns, about how effective student cohorting can be in any school. We see substitute teacher shortage in certain areas, which complicates things. And we see continued challenges faced with respect to distancing and poor ventilation. Recently was identified that it's the aerosol transmission that's of more concern than the surface transmission. These are things that need to be factored in going forward.
That's a big one for me, because you see the cleaning of hard surfaces now kind of referred to as hygiene theater, because an airborne virus, obviously the risk is about things like ventilation. Do you have any understanding about what the province has in store for dealing with ventilation issues? Like, over the years, I've had conversations with whether it be ministers of the day, principals, teachers, parents who are concerned because of poor air quality. Now I think there's a hyper-focus on that particular issue. Any idea if there's big plans for whether it be upgrading HVAC systems or different type of filtration in province of schools?
Well, we think that it is needed, and certainly we think this is something that needs to be considered. There are means by which to do this. Right now, thankfully, we're in a situation where the weather has gotten a little warmer, so I imagine that the ability for schools to take class outside will be enhanced. But again, if you're opening the window, but again, we also know in the spring there's also problems that cause insect population. But the last school as I was in administration, opening the windows in classrooms without adequate screens would actually cause more problems in the classroom because of where we're too. So there's all, but again, these are the things they need to be considered. And it really, for me, comes back to this statement, is that schools are where the homes, the workplace, the community contacts come together.
That it is. And of course, this might not be exactly your bailiwick either, but it's a news story I read and emails I've received. Parents and consultants who have talked about this year, especially in provinces where it's been a lot of reliance on online learning, the reference to half an education. The concept of repeating a grade on your own accord. I know it adds some complication to maybe additional class size concerns, because here come the grade eights and you're going to stay behind and do grade nine again. Therein lies another problem. Any thoughts on that? Because I tell you, I was really surprised. I've got a dozen families telling me they're going to have keep their child back.
Again, that would be a parental decision there, but I guess for me, I guess in some ways it is my bailiwick, because in the fall I'll be returning to my position as an online educator. And one thing I've always said about online education, it's a complement, it's a supplement, but not a replacement. But to your bit, it does not work for everyone. Now, I've got all the faith in the world that the students in this province are going to be given the education that I've got all the faith in the world of problems educators. They're doing their darndest each and every day. But to say that right now our province students aren't behind the cross-country, I mean, the whole globe is behind, so are they behind relative to the rest of the country and world? No, they're not. But are there going to be challenges going forward? Without question. And to that, I would think that the professionals of educators will be able to glean and move through the curriculum that is core and key and integral. They will move through. As to whether a student should be repeating a grade because of, as you put it, a half an education, that will be a parental decision discussion they'd have to have with the district on that there. But it's been a challenging year for everyone, students, parents, and yes, educators as well.
Of course it has. Dean, I appreciate making time for the show this morning. Thank you.
Always my pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right.
I mean, is that even a real thought in many parents' minds? Because I am not kidding you. I've got a dozen families telling me not only are they not sending their child back to school now, but they are seriously considering holding the child back to repeat whatever grade they're in at this moment in time. It's a, man, talk about a big decision for families to take on. Well, I